Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from God the Father. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tolerance says, you must approve of what I do. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will love you even when your behavior offends me. Tolerance says, you must agree with me. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will tell you the truth because I am convinced the truth will set you free. Tolerance says, you must allow me to have my way. Love responds, I must do something harder. I will plead with you to follow the right way because I believe you are worth the risk. Tolerance seeks to be inoffensive. Love takes risks. Tolerance glorifies division. Love seeks unity. Tolerance costs nothing. Love costs everything. In today's world, each of us have differing ideas on the meaning of love. What is the first thing that comes to your mind when somebody asks you, what do you love? A lot of ideas may be going through your mind right now. Do you say, I love strawberries? Do you say, I love running? Do you say, I love fill in the blank? Do you say, love is tolerating a differing opinion? You may desire strawberries, but that isn't love. You may find pleasure in running, but that isn't love. You may like the idea of tolerance, but that isn't love. So what is love anyway? The world would say love is a strong affection for another, or being unselfishly loyal, or having a benevolent concern for the good of another. That's a pretty good definition, but there is more than that to the meaning of love. Love goes deeper than that broad definition. In Apostle Paul's letter today, he answers that longing question, what is love? Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. So what is Paul saying? Love is long-suffering. Love is steadfast. Love is eternal. Love does not delight in evil. It isn't glad when evil or injustice is done. Instead, it rejoices with the truth. Here, truth and righteousness are the same. Love is not softness. It doesn't erase the boundary between right and wrong. Love isn't tolerating sinful behavior. Love is informing the sinner of their sin. If you spend too much time with false teachers, you will eventually share in their false doctrine, lies, and errors. If you play with tar, you are going to get dirty. Shouldn't a person do good things for those false teachers, and by doing so make them feel guilty and ashamed? Yes, we should hate them, as Luther says, but only in regard to their false teachings. Otherwise, we must be ready to serve our enemies so that we might be able to convert some of them. We need to love them as people, but hate what they teach. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Paul is showing the church at Corinth and us here this morning the more excellent way, the way of love. How do we come to understand what love is? Who teaches us what love is? In verse 1, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Paul is saying that without love, what you say does not make any sense. It makes as much sense as a person clanging a cymbal over and over and over again with no purpose in the song. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing, he writes in verse 2. Even if you have the ability to predict storms, predict wins and losses for your favorite sports team, or predict the winning lottery numbers, or even the moved mountains, it's all useless without love. In verse 3, he writes, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but not have love, I gain nothing. Supreme sacrifices are nothing if Christian love does not inspire them. In one grand sweep, we could turn over all that we own to charity. In one splendid sacrifice, we could give our lives in fiery martyrdom for a noble cause. But if such sacrifices were done without Christian love, they would be for nothing. So who teaches us about love? Now, what if I change these verses just a little slightly? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not God, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not God, I am nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not God, I gain nothing. You see, God is love. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love never ends. In verses 8 and 9, Paul explains that love is permanent. Speaking in tongues and prophesying is only temporary. Your desire for strawberries and any other food will end. Your pleasure in running or playing in any other sport will end. Your concept of tolerance will end. God's love for us never ends. That is why God the Father sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to serve as the only sacrifice for our sins upon the cross. Through his death and resurrection, we have the faith and hope of eternal life while in this world. Now, each of us here today will have their life end. Within our earthly life, we have faith, hope, and love. When we die, we will have no longer any need for faith or hope, because we will see with our own eyes Jesus Christ and the new heaven and the new earth. That is why Paul says, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. The greatest of these is love. Love is eternal. We will endure through eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. Amen. Now let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen.